get banned from YouTube simply for speaking your mind? Yes. Let's talk about it with Eric Metaxas on Steve Brown, etc.
He's an old white guy, an author, broadcaster, and seminary professor who's sick of religion. And he's brought friends. Please welcome Steve Brown, etc.
And we're so glad you're here. You always have a seat at our table. And if you want to know, I'm Steve, the aforementioned old white guy. Matthew Porter, our executive producer, is here. Matthew, did I hear that you still wear a mask when you go to the gym?
I do, because I try to be safe, but I actually found a new technique that's even safer than wearing a mask to the gym. Don't go to the gym. It's working.
That works for me, too. Our producer, Jinx, is in this little glass booth. Some people call him the space cowboy. Others, more informed, call him the gangster of love.
Ooh.
Some people call him Maurice.
Our video director and one-man IT department, John Myers, is in his tech bunker. John can't wait to see if this episode of Etc. gets us our first YouTube strike.
Uh-oh.
You get three and you're out. And this may be the first. We'll see. Dr. George Bingham is the president of Key Life. President Truman said the buck stops here. President Bingham says, oh, the buck stop here, hopefully.
And just remember, this today could be the first donation of the rest of your donations for life.
Ooh, that's just scripture right there. Ooh,
now, listen, I like it. That works. And then Kathy is the soft limit inside of the program. Last year, during the quarantine lockdown, Kathy delivered baked goods to the elderly. Kathy, I'm elderly.
I know, and I took you.
That. Okay,
I took you baked goods twice.
That one time he came.
Well, when you're old, you forget.
You forget.
You do it again.
Sure.
Remember that time he wandered over and got some?
Yeah. There you go.
By the way, Eric Metaxas is our guest, sort of. He's the number one New York Times bestselling author. He's my friend. His writing has appeared in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the New Yorker. He hosts the Eric Metaxas Radio Show, a daily syndicated radio program. And he's a senior fellow, lecturer at large at the King's College in Manhattan. And speaking of the Eric Metaxas Show, several weeks ago, YouTube permanently banned the channel he had for the said show. And we were able to interview Eric and get the inside story, and we're going to share some of that with you. We would share the whole thing, but when we did the program, I got so this makes me angry. And I got so snarky and upset that I got self-righteous and we couldn't put it on the air without the radio stations canceling us. So we decided to do it this way. Let's check in for Eric's explanation of why the ban happened.
The Eric Metaxas Show, I think of it as a family program. I go out of my way not to say anything that people couldn't listen to with their 9 or 10 year olds. And they simply decided that some of the things that I was saying were out of bounds. And this is horrifying because in America, we've always said that I may disagree with you, but I'll defend to the death your right to say what you say. That is free speech. That's the American culture that we've lived in. Something has changed very radically recently. It's cultural Marxism. It's a kind of a totalitarianism. It's very confusing. It's very sudden. But what I talked about on my radio program, rather gingerly, I mean, I'll say things strongly sometimes, but basically I'm trying to be open to the idea that maybe I'm getting something wrong. But I had guests on who talked about the whether the election had been manipulated somehow, whether Biden was actually elected. I don't believe he was elected. We've had some people on talking about that, discussing it, not raving about it, discussing it, trying to understand what happened and what we in America can do about this. I've had some guests on talking about the vaccine, whether it's a good idea to get it, about the horrifying specter of vaccine passports. I think that's about it. In other words, I think that those are the kinds of things that in the new America, spelled with a K, obviously, you have to be very careful. You can't say these things. And so YouTube, they kept giving us strikes when somebody, a guest, would mention something along the lines of what I've just mentioned just now. But we tried to play nice with them. We tried not to, we didn't post videos, as far as we knew, that touched on any of these things. And so a couple of times they went back, months back, to find something objectionable that we'd missed. And in the most recent case, we had two strikes against us. And just before they were supposed to expire, the day before, they found an interview I did with politically very liberal Naomi Wolf. She was my classmate at Yale. She's a well-known feminist and liberal. She was talking about vaccine passports. They found that interview I did with her, and that was strike three. And so the whole channel, 220,000 subscribers, was scrubbed from the internet. It no longer exists. They say we violated their community standards.
Well, wow. That's what happened. And it's kind of scary. I am generally a capitalist and believe that government shouldn't interfere with what is happening in private companies. And I think that YouTube is a private company, and it can put on whoever it wants to put on and take off anybody he wants to take on. That's not the problem I have. The problem I have is that they are a public company broadcasting all kinds of views, and it becomes discriminatory in the extreme when you take somebody like Eric Metaxas. His views are strong, but he's Yale educated. He's articulate. He's not a weirdo. He's not out of the box in a way that's inappropriate. He's just a guy who has strong views. And if YouTube or any of the other social media companies decide that any view with which they disagree, for instance, vaccines, I've taken the vaccine and I believe it's helpful and I'm glad that I did. And I've taken the stupid mask off and I'm not going to put it back on. But listen, I have friends who haven't. And every time they speak in my presence about why they're not taking the vaccine, I don't tell them to shut up. I don't tell them to be quiet and keep their views to themselves and they can't express it. But YouTube says we're a platform for everybody. No, you're not. We're a platform to open up discussion and free speech. And no, you're not. We're a platform. And we're going to talk about some of the legal issues in Section 230. We're a platform. And you can't sue us because we're letting everybody in. No, you're not. So you can't have it both ways. If you're going to be that, then Section 230 that we're going to talk about later applies to you. But if you're going to start eliminating voices on your platform, then we ought to change Section 230. That's a legal prevention of anybody suing YouTube or any social media because all they're doing is providing voices. And I have to be careful. I'm aware that Christians have done censorship for years. That's what made me give pause with the program that we did. We can't throw rocks and say, how could you, when we have? And we've done that a lot. We have a cancel culture. So we got to be careful when we critique cancel cultures. We kick people out of our organizations. So we got to be careful when we jump on others who kick people out of the organizations. But with all of that being said, wrong is wrong and right is right. And YouTube did something really, really bad. And it goes to the very heart of what America is all about. And that is, this is a country where you can say even stupid things and you can say it without anybody canceling you or putting you down or saying, just shut up, don't say it. I can remember when the ACLU, and I've never been their fan, they went to court to support the Ku Klux Klan. When I heard that, I thought, son of a gun, they really do believe in free speech. It's not going to happen again. And sadly, that's not what's going on in our culture. We're in the business of destroying the very bedrock of American democracy. And that is, I will defend with my life your right to say anything, even stupid things. Well, we're going to talk about it when we come back. We hope that you will come back too. And we'll hear support from Eric Metaxas, who has no trouble whatsoever in saying what he thinks, even if nobody wants him to.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Hey, we're so glad you're here. We're talking with Eric Metaxas, and we're also talking with each other, and the subject is free speech. Listen to what Eric said when he started referencing a number of things, including some legal stuff.
You know, Steve, first of all, I guess I should say that this is all a wonderful learning moment for Americans. In other words, when you see overreach, when you see hideous things, it's a moment to say, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? How does this work? What recourse do we have? What do our laws say? And I think most of us have been so blessed with freedom that we never have to think about freedom. But when freedom is abrogated in any way, you have to look at it when you see injustice. I mean, I think most people in America would say that the kind of things that I talk about on my radio program are very far from what ought to be censored. I mean, it's genuinely preposterous. I think that we have to be clear. They singled me out probably because I pose some kind of a threat, maybe because I am reasonable and I can't be dismissed. So we have to look at it and say, well, what happened here and what's going on? And I think what happened, it's unprecedented. And whenever anything unprecedented happens, we have to go back to the drawing board and say, how do we deal with this? Okay, when we had the civil rights movement in America, we had complete freedom in this country. And then suddenly some people said, well, I don't know if it's a good idea for Black people to be prohibited from going into a place and buying burgers. That's kind of weird. I mean, if you want to have a little club, you can have your own private club and you can say only people who are left-handed can be in that club. In America, we're free and you can do the dumbest thing or the best thing. We're free to do stupid things and good things. But sometimes it crosses a line. And with the race thing in the 60s, I think we as a nation said, that's unacceptable. We cannot have that. If it's a public institution, I can't think what the legal term is. Maybe you know, but there's certain things where you say that's not acceptable. We have recently dealt with that with the guy Jack Phillips and others who've said, listen, I can't celebrate your same-sex wedding. That crosses a line for me. And some people have come in and said, oh, you have no right to do that. You better bake that cake. And the Supreme Court and Americans have to come together and say, okay, where are we as a nation? Can we force some? We can force someone to sell a hamburger to a black man. We can do that. But can we force someone to bake a cake celebrating a gay wedding? That's a religious objection that goes way, way back. So we have to deal with this kind of stuff. And right now we're at another moment, it's unprecedented, where these tech corporations have become so powerful and so monopolistic. I mean, there's just no doubt about it that they are genuine monopolies, that we as a nation, as a culture, and as a government have to say, what are we going to do about this? Because let's be honest, they are squelching free speech. They've got their thumb on the scales. They are affecting how everyone in America, I mean, it's not just when we say YouTube, you might as well see CBS or NBC or the New York Times. We have a kind of liberal filter over everything. A lot of narratives that would be considered conservative or Christian are being filtered out. And so we understand the free market is at play, but right now it's not just the free market. Right now you have these giants with tremendous power. I mean, if there were something else like a YouTube, we'd say, well, who cares? That other entity will grow as a result of YouTube being so heavy-handed. But there is nothing quite like YouTube. The same thing could be said for Google or Facebook or even Twitter. And so the government has to step in, has to make them be a referee, and has to make them play fair.
Man, do I agree with that. Eric also pointed out some historical connection between our current events and Germany. Listen to this.
If you don't stand up for the principle, eventually, yeah, they're going to come and get you. And so we all need, and this is what Bonhoeffer kept saying, we all need to stand now against these things. If we don't now stand up and whatever they tell you, you can't say, scream it in their face. Because if you don't do that now, tomorrow, you're not going to be able to have a voice. Tomorrow, in other words, the noose gets tighter and tighter. This is the way it works when people are trying to crush freedom. They did it in Germany. They didn't crush freedom immediately. They didn't have the power, but the people gave them the power inch by inch, day by day, until they had enough power to do anything they liked, and they did. That is where we are in America. Why would be any different from Germany? And anybody who thinks that the Germans are fundamentally different is himself a racist. They're exactly the same as we are. And the only thing is, in this country, we don't have the excuse they did, because we have had the kinds of freedoms they didn't have in Germany. We ought to understand what freedom is. And our people have died so that we could say what we like in America.
That's a good thing to remember, too. You know, my tendency is not to do this program. You know, we're delving into a lot of things that are pretty controversial and pretty divisive. But I decided if we don't say something now, down the line, they're going to stop us from saying things that are right now permissible. So we decided to do this program no matter what happens, because somebody's got to say something. If you see something, say something. And that takes on a whole new meaning, doesn't it?
Matthew, I think you had a quote that was right up.
Yeah. There's a quote that from Martin Niemöller.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys have heard various versions of this, but it still stands up. First, they came for the socialist, and then I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist. I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out for I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. The principle holds, and it connects exactly to what you were saying, Steve. Before it's too late, maybe it's time to throw up a flag and go, whoa, 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 whoa. We need to protect space to
exchange ideas and have that marketplace of ideas and, you know, strong armed tactics to shut down a point of view. I don't feel like that is healthy for a thriving representative democracy.
And it's not healthy. You know, this moves into other areas. It certainly has to do with political views. And Eric Metaxas expresses those in an articulate, balanced, non-fanatic way. But it moves into science, too. You know, one of the things they eliminated is any discussion about vaccines, about what's helpful and about what's not. And they say if we give false information, we kill people. And so everybody just shuts up, including the scientists. So they came for the scientist, and I didn't say anything. One of these days, they're going to come for us, and there won't be anybody around, as Matthew was giving that quote, to speak up for us. So we're speaking up. We're saying, stop this. Stop it right now. We need a country where you can say stupid things and wise things, smart things and dumb things. Things with which I disagree. Things with which I agree. So we can sit down and talk. And when we stop talking, when we stop speaking up, we're going to lose it all. And frankly, that's a scary thought. We're coming back. Don't go away.
From Key Life comes two mini books, What Do You Do for a Living? And Life After Retirement. What Do You Do for a Living by Justin Holcomb addresses the problem of defining ourselves by what we do and how we perform in our work instead of by who we know, a gracious, loving God who defines who we are. Life After Retirement by Steve Brown examines how those transitioning from work to retirement often experience a loss of purpose in life, and how the quest for personal significance can best be answered by God's radical grace, love, and purpose for our lives sufficient to carry us through this transition. What Do You Do for a Living and Life After Retirement can help guide people struggling with either work or retirement. These two Key Life mini books are available through keylife.org for a donation of $6.
Glad you're with us, and to bring you up to speed, if you're just joining us, we're talking about free speech, and we're talking to my friend Eric Metaxas, who has been removed from YouTube, and we're finding that's happening a lot, and this is not primarily a political program. We occasionally bring subjects up and talk about them, and we're sometimes controversial. But when we heard what happened to Eric, we decided, good night, that could happen to us. And so we decided it was time to say something, and this is our effort to say something. And if we're removed from YouTube for doing it, then, you know, that's the price we pay. We will ask you to double your contribution to Key Life. In fact, we could maybe make some money on this if we played it right. But at any rate, that's what we're talking about, and we're glad you're here.
You know, the challenge would be if we got into that position where we were motivated to ask for more contributions, we might not have any way to reach people to ask them.
Because I didn't think about that. We shouldn't have done this program, do you think?
You know, that seems to bring one of the, you know, extra risks of our current situation. I mean, we make historical references, like especially Nazi Germany and even other times in America's history, you know, the blacklisting of the accused communists and so forth in the media. But those were times where you still had uncontrollable sources. You know, you had terrestrial radio, for example, and people couldn't find out what you were listening to unless they actually were in your house. And some of the written materials, you could pass them around and so forth. I have heard, you know, sort of typically over time, I've heard conservatives talk about, you know, you need to go to the original sources, which I think is really good advice. And then I heard a, you know, someone that was more on the progressive end of things say, well, you need to check out the original sources. And I think that's good advice. The problem is most people's source is the internet, and that's becoming no longer an original source. I mean, you had the book 1984, the main character was working in the Ministry of Truth, I think it was, ironically named Ministry of Truth. And his job was to go through and essentially rewrite books historically, and then go collect all the old ones and burn them. Well, they no longer have to collect the old ones and burn them. We even have examples, recent examples of media companies going in and changing their article, the wording of their article from some time before without any notation that it was changed. So you suddenly can have this new truth or your own truth or whatever that people are talking about. And it does bring up the issue of how we go about expressing our view in the presence of these technology oligarchs.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. And you expect mainline media to be yelling at the top of their lungs, and they're not. They should be doing what we're doing right now on our little program, and that's one of the major problems. They're not.
And that seems like a golden opportunity. I remember in the 90s, there was a big First Amendment free speech push from the left, you know, particularly around some controversial albums. And yeah. I don't remember us being super vocal, but they were leading going, hey, we don't, you know, censor stuff. Well, now it's on the other side. It's like, this is a golden opportunity for us to find common ground to say the freedom of speech and press and religion is sacred. Let's all get behind this.
Yeah. And we repent of those times that we have not stood on the firing line when we should have. So as Americans, we've got to come together and say, I will defend your right to say and believe and write and video and broadcast views that are different than my views. And I mean, when I say that, I really mean it. If I had it to do over again, could go back to that period to which you refer, I would stand.
I would not. I personally can't go full Voltaire. You know, he got, I'll defend to the death your right to say it. I'm like, you know what? I'm willing to be uncomfortable. I'm not going to die for the right to
speak. Well, I ain't dying for you.
Brave women and men have done that. That's not me.
When you're old and cramming for vinyls, it's easier to say that. Hey, listen, one more thing from Eric. We asked him where he thought this was headed.
Right now, if those of us who have a voice, who know what's right and true, or who at least believe in standing up for what's right and true, if we do not speak up and do everything we can, we deserve to slide down this greased slope.
Good point that. And we're going to talk about it on the next segment of this program. We're talking about free speech and how important it is and how we're going to lose it if we're not very, very careful. That's free speech, by the way, for us and for you, if your views are totally in opposition to ours. The problem is people who censor others think they're doing a good thing. In fact, they're doing just the opposite. Someday, they will censor you, too. Don't go away. Like Jesus, we're coming back. He was irritated when the electricity went out. No television, no music, no Netflix. Then he discovered that the battery on his smartphone was dead. He decided to make some coffee, but when he went to the kitchen, he realized that without electricity, he couldn't even do that. Then he noticed his wife in the kitchen, and he sat down and talked to her. He said later, "You know, she seemed like a very nice lady." I know, technology's good, but sometimes go talk to somebody face to face. You might be surprised how nice and real they are. It's messy sometimes, but Jesus would like it. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com. Hey, thanks for joining us on Steve Brown, etc. In case you hadn't heard, the brand new edition of the Key Life Digital Magazine was just released. So you ought to go to keylife.org/digital magazine and you can download it for free. We are talking with Eric Metaxas. We did the interview a while ago and we're giving you the highlights of what Eric had to say. Let's listen to one more thing from him.
YouTube just rather cavalierly, but again, in a very careful way so that it doesn't look as cavalier as it is, they decided to completely wipe us out. And I just want to say, Americans need to understand this is one of many examples of draconian, ugly, totalitarian, un-American at the very least, and in fact, anti-American things that have been happening. We need to speak up loudly, loudly, now, now, now.
Boy, do I agree with that.
Yeah, and like, I agree heavily with Eric on this interview, so I'm trying not to get our second and third strike at the same time. But,
get them all in one shot.
But there's a flip side as I watch all this, just, I mean, from the cake to this to many other things. You know, we have, as we make these legislations, we do still have to remember that there's private enterprise involved. So, and you know, as fast as we click yes, we agree to all the things, we do agree to these things. And one of the things is that they can shut us down if they want to. Is it ethically and globally right? Absolutely not. You can't legislate morality. You can't legislate ethics except for punishing when they're obviously stomped on. So we've got to figure out how we can make ethical laws that apply to everyone's beliefs, so that we're not favoring one versus the other. And yes, while I believe that you should be allowed to have private clubs for left-handed people, I also agree that you can't serve everyone without offering it to everyone, and you can't advertise that you accept all opinions when you're axing only certain opinions. So, you know, it's kind of a line that I don't want to stay quiet on it, but at the same time, I'm doing a little devil's advocate on both sides of this fence. I don't know where you're at with it, Matt, but some of the stuff you say I seem to agree with, but I just want to jump up and yell and like shoot guns and stuff. So,
you know, the problem is, though, and Jinx, I agree with you. I really am Burkean conservative. My views are very bedrock at that place, which means that I don't think you interfere with companies that are doing business. But one of the problems here, and Eric talked about it, is that legally these companies are protected in a way that Ford Motor Company isn't protected.
True.
And we're not protected, even as a not-for-profit. And I think that if social media is going to play this censorship game, then the protections that we've given them legally so they can do that need to be removed. And the laws that have to do with monopolies need to be applied. And they're not and can't legally. So they're free. They're free to act in a very unethical way. And if you're going to play on that field, you got to play by the rules everybody else has to play by. Mm-hmm. And so I would suggest that you talk to your congressman and say, look, don't protect them in ways you don't protect me. But I hear you. And even saying that makes me wince some because I really believe I'm a capitalist and I believe people need to be free to do what their companies, they believe their companies ought to do.
Mm-hmm. Seems like the more free market approach would be to go toward the, you know, antitrust aspects of it rather than direct government control, which always makes me nervous. If you can at least, allow for or encourage competitive companies, the problem gets to be that, you know, especially early on, these companies have so much money, they will just buy out a small company that has the potential of being a competitor, or they already have the channel through which they operate, like Amazon's web service or something, where they can shut down a parlor or alternative company that would give people alternate voices. And I think, you know, antitrust might be one of the first places to go after, as opposed to asking for government control, because that really would make me nervous.
I agree too. And that increases competition when those laws are applied that way. It doesn't lessen it. It makes it possible for others to get in this game and to compete on a level playing field. And there is no level playing field now. For instance, I'm really upset with the mainline media. But man, there are alternatives all over the place. There's a lot of competition and a lot of money to be made on the other side, but not here. As you were pointing out, sometimes they control the platforms, so you can't even start a new company. And that's dangerous, and it ought to be illegal.
Yeah, and it's funny. So go, Jinx.
In response to George's thing with antitrust, it just reminded me all the way back in like 2000, I got, I guess, what would now be considered a meme. It was a picture that circulated the internet slowly by email. But it was a little animated clip that showed how Ma Bell was broken up in an antitrust and how she went from one big company to all these little companies and right back to AT&T.
Yeah. Well, when they get enough,
watch it all the time, man. They'll sneak up on you.
When they get enough money into lobbying, they can get it right
illegal.
Back in.
Yeah. That's a whole other show, though.
And there's an incredible amount of more money in Washington, swimming in it from China, from social media, from companies that are trying to get the inside. And sometimes if you're just a normal person, you look at it and you wonder why the views of our political leaders are so skewed. And you have to say, maybe they've been bought. And that's kind of scary when it happens. Well, at any rate, we have spoken our piece. And we don't like what happened to Eric. And we're afraid it's going to happen to us. And you ought to be very afraid that it's going to happen to you, too. Once you start canceling people and their views, there's no end to it, because there's no end to self-righteousness. I struggle with it, and you do, too. That's why we have to keep each other accountable. Say it. If you see it, say it. No matter what happens to you, say it anyway. Hey, guys, one more segment, and then we're going to return. Don't go anyplace.
Hi, this is Eric, producer of Steve Brown, Etc. If you've been listening very long, you know I'm a struggling believer, and I'd love to share some things that have helped. At Key Life, we believe that the deepest message of the ministry of Jesus and the Bible is the radical grace of God for sinners and sufferers. And we have four mini books that'll help you believe that no matter what you've done or what you're going through, God's not mad at you. Feeling Guilty, Suffering, and Faith and Doubt by Steve Brown will help you apply healing biblical truth to where it hurts the most. And my mini book, The Gift of Addiction, How God Redeems Our Pain, shows that coming to the end of ourselves is actually the beginning of faith. These four mini books are in the Grace for Sinners and Sufferers mini book combo, and it's available at keylife.org for a suggested donation of $12. They're also individually available for a suggested donation of $4.
Anybody ask you what you've been listening to, you say, I've been listening to Steve Brown, et cetera, and they went crazy today. They went down some roads they haven't gone down before, and we did. And we will probably do this again. I mean, some people don't hear things when you say them one time. Sometimes you have to say it over and over again. That's true about grace, for instance. That's why Martin Luther said we got to preach the gospel to each other or we'll all get discouraged. Well, we have to talk about free speech to each other and be free in our speech or we'll all get discouraged and we'll all get canceled. The Christian faith ought to be the one place where nobody is ever canceled, ever. It ought to be a place that's open, that's honest, that's authentic, and we're not always. That would be talking about you, certainly not me. I'm ordained. I do it right all the time. And if you believe that, you'll believe anything. But let's make a commitment, and most of the people who are listening and watching right now are Christians, that we're going to speak up, and we're not only going to speak up, we're going to encourage others to speak up about a great variety of subjects. We talked recently about sex, and we said the problem in the church is that we don't talk about it anymore. And if we don't start talking about it, it never gets fixed. And we never learn what it means to live together as human beings with great respect and value given to other human beings. Well, Catherine, who's going to be our guest next week?
Next week, we are going to have one of our friends from reasonstobelieve.org. But this is not one of our scientific friends. It's not Hugh and it's not Fuzz. This is another gentleman who's on staff there, Ken Samples. And his book is titled Christianity Cross-Examined. Is it Rational, Relevant, and Good? So there
you
go.
I assume he thinks it is.
Well, we can only hope. If not, you need to be prepared because
and he will have the reason.
We could potentially have some controversy, but hey, we're getting good at that. So
that's right.
I don't know.
By the way, you ought to check out reasons.org sometime. That is a great organization. They're doing incredible work. Well, that's it. We're finished. Put a fork in us. We're done. But we're going to come back next week, same time, same place. And it's our hope that you'll join us. And between now and then, don't do anything we wouldn't. That gives you a wide, wide berth.